Om Akandam Sachidanandam Avan Manasagocharam Atmanam Akhilakaram Ashraye Krishna Siddhe Arthato Pyadvayanandam Atita Dvaita Bhanataha Guru Naraja Vedanta Saram Vakshe Yathamatihi. Okay, we are okay, we are on in this little book, we're on page 8. Oh, you have what page are we on in that?
Three.
And it's verse number 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These two are a little bit different. Okay. Okay, number 14, verse 14, Vedanta Sara. Repeat after me. Nitya Naimittika Yoho.
Nitya Naimittika Yoho.
Upasananam.
Upasananam.
Prabhantara Palam.
Prabhantara Palam.
Pitraloka.
Satyaloka.
Prabhu. Karmana. Pitralokaha. Vidyaya. Devalokaha. Ityadi Shrutehe. So I'm going to just do it quickly with a sandhi. Nitya Naimittika Yoho. Upasana Nam. Two. Avantara Palam. To Avantara Palam. Pitra Loka. Satya Loka Praptihi. Karmana Pitra Lokaha. Vidyaya Deva Lokaha. Iti Adi Shrutehe. Iti Adi Shrutehe. Oops.
Fell offline somehow. That's not my doing. That's something going on with her.
Maybe she's calling you.
No, she's completely off. See?
Off the internet?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, she'll have to. Okay, we'll have to see. If you see her, come on, let me know, and then I will turn off the other one.
Can they both operate at the same time?
No, not without some static. They can, but they'll be static. Maybe she just left or something. I have no idea. Okay. Nitya Naimittika Yoho. This is genitive dual. It means of the nitya and the naimittika karmas, right? Nitya karmas are those karmas that have to be done on a daily basis. Nitya means always. They're always being done day after day after day. The naimittika karmas are the occasional karmas that are, like for instance, birthday or the naming ceremony, marriages, shraddha. Shraddha is when you're doing a ritual, yearly ritual for your deceased parent. So those are naimittika karmas that are occasioned. They're brought about by occasion. So nitya naimittika yoho. Of the nitya, it's internally for Sanskrit people. Internally, it's a dwandva compound, nitya and naimittika. So nitya naimittika yoho. Upasana nam. So of the nitya and naimittika, and then of the upasanas, two. Two is just differentiating it from the previous. So you can say whereas, but just use it as a differentiating marker. Avantarapala. Okay, now, the Avantarapala is a name Sapin Swamiji will be frequently saying. What Avantarapala means is a secondary result. There's going to be, like for instance, for a karma yogi, when we're doing a karma yogi, a mumukshu is doing the nitya and naimittika karmas, the primary pola, the mukya pola, the primary pola that they're gaining from that is antakarna shuddhi, purity of mind. That's what they're doing it for. But there's an avantara pola, other than the antakarna shuddhi, you know, the purity of mind and dharma, all of these things. And that secondary pola, so avantara pola means a secondary result. The secondary result of nitya and naimittika karmas and of the upasanas are this. Pitraloka, which means the world of the fathers, and satyaloka means the heaven world. So pitraloka and satyaloka praptihi, the attainment praptihi. So prapti is an important word. Do you remember the phrase praptisya praptihi, the attainment of the attained? So praptihi, attainment, the gain, the praptihi, feminine noun, the praptihi, the attainment of pitraloka and satyaloka. So now pitraloka means the world of the fathers, pitra means father, satyaloka means the world, the heaven world. Now, to just put this in a little bit of perspective, remember that in the Vedic cosmology, there's the Bhurloka, which is this called the Karma Bhumi. It means on this loka, on this level of reality, this level of experience, you're accruing, you're exhausting your prarabdha karma, and you're accruing karma also. Right? You're accruing punya and papa. Then, so this is kind of the middle ground, where you're actually, you're exhausting karma, but you also have the kartritva, doership. You have an ahankara, you're a karta, you're a doer, which means that you're accruing karma. So now there's this buddha-loka, it's called, that's the middle one. Then there's seven lokas up above that, each one subtler than the one before, each one giving more ananda than the previous one, until you get up to the highest one, satya-loka, which gives us the highest heaven world, it gives the most ananda. So there's a gradation of ananda, seven tiers up. The pitraloka is in the first tier, and it's where a person who's just living a dharmic life, doing their nitya naimittika karmas, they will attain this loka, which is a positive loka. It's the loka of the fathers, of your ancestors. So that loka you will get if you're doing the nitya naimittika karmas. Whereas those who are doing upasana, that they would be doing their nitya and naimittika karmas plus upasana, plus meditation. So those who are doing upasana, they can get up to the satyaloka, which is the highest of the heaven worlds, where there is the most ananda. And you'll see at the end of this Brahmananda Bali, there'll be a little section where they talk about the tiers. From one, you know, there's this, who gets the most ananda on this level, on this particular loka, it's the person who, the man who has extremely good health, good physical appearance, is like king of the world, has all kinds of wealth, all these things. Everything goes perfectly, that's the most you can get on this loka. And then ten times that is the next loka. 10 times that is the next, is the loka above that. Like that, it gradiates it.
So they're big jumps.
They're big jumps, yeah. So one gets exponentially more sukha than the other till you get all the way up to the highest level. This is all within samsara. The tiers. And then there's seven locus down for those who are doing a lot of papa. A little bit of papa, first tier down, and then more, and then more, and then more. So you're way down there in Narika, way down in the bottom hell. Okay, so that's the cosmology.
Where's the location of these locusts?
subtle realms. Subtle realms.
I'm sorry. I ain't going.
Okay, so what they say here is that they're giving the Avantarapala, the secondary result of the Nitya and Naimittika karmas, is Pitraloka. The secondary result of the Upasanas is Satyaloka, which is the highest. So they're just giving the range. This is the vision that you should have with something like this. These are all karmas. Whether you're doing the Nitya Naimittika karmas, the different rituals and duties, or you're doing different meditations, which are also a karma. They're called a manasa karma. They're a mental karma. Right? You're actually having an imagination, you know, so a certain imagination that you're superimposing upon something. That's an upasana, and you're holding your mind, that citta ekagrata, or upasana, right? The primary result of upasana is citta ekagrata, single-pointedness, is what you get from the previous verses. What you get from upasana is the single-pointedness. From nitya naimittika karmas, you get antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind. So now, so those are the primary. The current antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind, and being able to focus, citta ekagrata. Avantarapala are the lokas that you will be rewarded with after death. Okay? So the nitya and naimittika karmas will take you to the Pitraloka. First level up, the level of the ancestors. Pitra means literally father, or ancestors. It's the loka, the world of the ancestors. Then the satya, the upasanas, give more. There are manasa karma that give a greater result. Still karma. It's still punya, right? Punya and papa. So the upasana will give punya that will take you, so it's a karma that will give you punya to take you to the Satyaloka, the highest realm. Okay? But now what they're going to be showing is that these are all karmas. They're all the results of karma, and so they're all time-bound, as we'll see in a minute. But it's important to know all of these words. These are the important words. Nitya, nitya karma, naimittika karma, right? Then before we had prayaschitta, remember that? Here, what are all the karmas? Kamya karma, right? Nishedha karma, nishiddha karma, the kamya karma, nishiddha karmas for the mumukshus, those go out the window. The kamya karma are karmas, the karmas or rituals I do for a desired object, kamya karma. Nishiddha karma, karmas I should not do, they bring about papa. So kamya karma, nishiddha karma, as a mumukshu, you have to avoid those. Then you have nitya karma and naimittika karma and prayaschitta karma. A mumukshu does all three of these. As a karma yogi, until you take sannyasa, you do your nitya and naimittika karmas. For us in this world, it means as a karma yogi, we stay in living our life and being diligent about doing those things which need to be done, which are to be done, and not doing those things that are not being done. Trying to live our dharma. In India, it's more structured. There are definite karmas, definite duties that need to be done, definite rituals, definite duties, definite obligations that are both nitya and naimittika. The prayaschitta karmas are those karmas which we do in order to neutralize nishiddha karmas, sins that we've done, prayaschitta. Okay? So those are the karmas, nitya, so kamya, nishiddha, right? Kamya karmas, nishiddha karmas, nitya, naimittika, prayaschitta karmas. Then there's the upasanas. Okay? So now he's saying, of all these karmas, the nitya and the naimittika will take you to Pitraloka. By doing those as they are to be done, you'll get Pitraloka, the level of the world of the ancestors. By doing upasana, you can get Satyaloka, the heaven world, which is the highest. Okay? There's a verse that in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that confirms this. So he's giving a confirmation. Back to the verse now. Karmana, by karma, karmana is third case, pitraloka, So, Pitralokaha, the world of the ancestors, by karma. Vidyaya. Hi, Paula.
I tried
to get you. What happened?
My laptop crashed.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'm glad you're back on.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. Okay, so, karmana, by karma, pitraloka. Vidya, by vidya. Here, vidya means upasana. The word vidya, we know it only as knowledge, but actually, the word vidya is often used for meditation, for upasana, in the sense of upasana. So you have to make note of that. But sometimes upasana is referred to as vidya frequently. So it's just something, because we only know it as vidya, avidya, knowledge, ignorance. So you don't think of vidya as being used for upasana, but it is, often. So here it says, by karma pitralokaha, nominative singular, vidyaya, by vidya, means by upasana, devaloka, the world of the gods. That's satyaloka. The devaloka is satyaloka. The world of the devatas, the gods. So this karmana lokaha vidyaya, again instrumental singular, devalokaha, ityadi shruti, shrute, thus, from this shruti, etc. Iti, adi, shrute, fifth case, from the shruti beginning with, or I would say from such shrutis as, ityadi shrute, from such shrutis as, karmana pitralokaha vidyaya devalokaha. So, important term, avantara. The avantara pala is important, that there's secondary result, right? So that's an important term. Then knowing all of the different types of karma, kamya, nishidha, nitya, nanitika, prayaschitta, like all of these, then upasana. These are important words.
And the secondary, it doesn't cancel out the first.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't cancel out. It's in addition to. The avantara pala is a secondary gain in addition to the primary gain. Primary gain, as it's presented here, because Vedanta Sara is for the mamukshu, primary gain is for the karmas, nitya and nanitika karmas, is antakarana shuddhi, for upasana, chitta aikagrata, or chitta naischalya, same thing. Chitta single-pointedness of mind, steadiness of mind.
This is a little off base, but does the Vedic culture really take serious this pursuit of Devaloka, and is it a popular pursuit?
To really be working for Devaloka takes a huge amount of work,
yeah.
The Satyaloka. And so I wouldn't say it's a popular pursuit. Everybody would like to get to Devaloka, but there's so many rituals and upasanas that need to be done, so much tapas, things like that. But there's no doubt that there is such a thing as satyaloka.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so some people will be in the karmis, who are living within the karmakanda, the first portion of the Vedas. There are some karmis who will be intent on gaining satyaloka. And that means that they're doing a lot of upasana, a lot of different types of tapas, in order to gain the punya that would be necessary to get to that satyaloka. So the satyaloka is definitely a reality. How many people are actually working toward that is going to be limited.
But they still outnumber the mamukshus, right? I mean,
probably. Yeah. I don't really know.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to get a
point. But either way, I mean, the person who's working for satyaloka has to be a committed karmata. Karmata means person who is committed to karma, is committed to...
Yeah.
Living a life, very disciplined, single life, single-pointedly engaged in the doing of upasana, of dharma, of ritual, in order to gain that loka. So it'd be a very focused life in order to gain a pala like that. It's not an ordinary pala, right? And then then there's everybody who's just normal. They're living a dharmic life. They're doing their nitya, nanitika karmas. They're avoiding the nishiddha karmas. They do a nishiddha karma, they do the prayaschitta, you know, karmas to neutralize that. Those people will definitely get to the pitraloka and higher depending upon, you know, the punya they've accrued. So if it goes from the pitraloka, which is one up, to the satyaloka, which is all the way up. You can't get to the satyaloka without upasana. Okay? Is everybody okay on these terms?
Terms okay, but I have some questions.
Okay, go ahead.
What about all the people who didn't grow up in the Vedic culture?
The people who didn't, well, that's interesting. A verse that we're going to be coming to just a few classes from now in the Bhagavad Gita, it's a famous verse that says, Bhagavan says, in whatever form you worship me, in whatever form you evoke me, I will honor you in that form. You know?
Yeah.
And so, and there's a couple of verses on it. We'll get to it probably next week or the week after. It's in chapter 7. I can't remember exactly the verse. So when I was studying that verse, as I was preparing this chapter 7, I was thinking, remembering it, because this is a verse, also often quoted verse, right? I've even quoted it before, but I was thinking, that makes so much sense, you know, so say you're a devout Christian, you know, then the way that you have worshipped Bhagavan in that form should be honored. Say you're a Muslim, the way that you worship Bhagavan in that form should be honored. So it's an infinite universe. You know, so I don't. That's all I can think about of that. I don't know.
I was thinking in terms of the locus, and that's interesting.
Another way I've thought about it. I mean, I don't have a definite answer except for my own reflections. You know, actually, it'd be a fun question to ask Swamiji. I should note that. You know, in these dialogues we're having,
yeah.
That would be a kind of an interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting question.
Yeah, Numa just said in relationship to these locus, you know.
Yeah.
Like a satya loka only populated by people. Oh, yeah. Who did, you know, the Vedic practices.
Up here.
Yeah, but if you think of, you know, even the Hindus themselves, just your run-of-the-mill, not totally educated in their own culture, they accept every form of worshipping the Lord. Mm-hmm. They would never... because it's in the Gita, so much in their culture. So in whatever way you worship Bhagavan, that's fine.
Yeah.
That in that way, Bhagavan will honor you.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean in terms of after death? Does that mean that you'll go to a loka which honors that form of the devata? I don't know. Yeah.
And then...
Or I was also thinking... Sometimes when I think of my own life, sometimes I thought of myself as a Hindu in the West, who took birth in the West, because I'm so comfortable in India and within that, as many of us are, you know.
At home.
So at home there, and when I first got to India, when I landed, I felt like it was back home. And so, who knows? In this way, who knows who you are as a jiva, I mean? What is your culture? I mean, it's kind of a cosmic, you're the part of the cosmic culture, not part of a worldly culture, because you have infinite lives. And so what is that cosmic culture that would be very clear to you from a different vantage point? Like they say, for instance, when you leave this, just in the tradition, when you leave this physical body, you know, at that point, then you have a much broader perspective of your life as a jiva. Like here, once you take a physical body, you only have the, except sometimes for the first 2 or 3 years, a lot of little children will have a lot of past life. Their past life will be present to them, but they'll lose that after 1 or 2 or 3 years. It'll dissipate, usually go away. Because you're not really, the body's not made, it's not supposed to be. Usually when you take this birth, your past experiences are erased, not erased, but they're muted because the sukshma sharira has now totally identified with the physical body, and so you have a brain which is somewhat of a clean slate, but it's going to take on the samskaras of that subtle body, right? Those are the tendencies of the subtle body will form its grooves in the physical body, in the physical brain, but then you have to accrue new memories. Though those memories are there in a subtle form, they're just not available to you from the standpoint of the physical brain, something like this. So when this body drops, you're now freed of that physical upadhi until you take another one. And so your experience of your lives, it's not lives, it's a continuous, a continuum of experience. This particular experience just being one of many. You know, it's like you, in terms of this physical body, you have a continuum of experience, which you're aware of. Like, there's no problem. You can say, oh, this is what I did throughout my life, and now here I'm at this stage. But from a subtle perspective, that continuum doesn't, this is just one of many, many of your births, and you see that whole thing. And so what I'm saying is you're part of more of a cosmic, a whole different level of cosmology once you're just subtle and not taking a not with a physical form.
So this is not really a Hindu thing then, is that what you're saying?
This is the way the Vedas talk about it. So how we view it, you know, from that different dimension, I would say would be more unified than how we view it from this particular upadhi that was born in this particular time and place, in, you know, that was born in the West, you know. So that's all I'm saying.
Good.
Anything else, I'll be making it up. But I'm telling you what we traditionally, how we traditionally view it. Okay. Was that all your questions, Uma?
Well, I did have another one. I think you said it, but it kind of slid off my brain, about whether you accrue karma and exhaust karma in these other lokas.
No.
You don't at all.
Only in this loka.
You exhaust karma?
In the other lokas, in all the other lokas, you exhaust karma. Only in this loka do you accrue karma. But no, in this loka, and in the Satya loka, the highest loka, you have kartrutvam, doership. You know?
Okay.
The sense of the doership. But I don't know about accruing karma. I don't think you accrue karma in Satya loka. But you have doership, whereas in all of the intermediary between the bhuloka and the Satya loka, there's only enjoyership. It's kind of like the dream, except it's on a collective level instead of a subjective level. It's like in a vyavahara. Instead of in a, just a subjective level. But there's only enjoyment. There's only bhoktritvam. Whereas in this loka and Satya loka, there's kartritvam.
And for animals,
agency.
If this is true too, they're just exhausting karma.
Animals are only exhausting karma.
In this loka. They're in our loka, but
they're not accruing karma.
Karma.
Yeah, they're not accruing karma. Animals don't accrue karma. I think in Satya loka also that you don't accrue karma. Only in bhuloka. This loka. Let's say. Yeah. Okay? Let's do verse 15. Sadhanani.
Sadhanani.
Nitya nitya vastu viveka.
Nitya nitya vastu viveka.
Iha mutrartha.
Iha mutrartha.
Palaboga.
Palaboga.
Viraga.
Viraga.
Shamadi shakka.
Shamadi
shakka. Sampatti.
Sampatti.
Mumukshutvani.
Mumukshutvani.
Okay, now this verse is now going to be sparse by 16, 17, 18, and 19. Let me just see. It's going to be expanded by, way expanded for several verses. But, where it says sadhanani, if you go back to, just a minute. If you go back to verse 6, can you go back to verse 6? You see it at the very end of verse 6. It says, sadhana chatushtiya sampannaha. This verse 6 is the definition of the adhikari, the qualified student. In this definition, we've also already gone through the one, the kamya nishiddha varjana purasaram, the one who's free of the karma, nishiddha karmas, and the one who has the nityana nityaka prayaschitta upasana, one who does all of those, right? One who does all of those things, then has received, who has gained antakarana shuddhi. So we've been working our way through now this definition in verse 6. The last thing we have to do for this definition is the sadhana chatushtya sampannaha. Sadhana chatushtya sampannaha is a definition, is the primary definition really of the adhikari, of the qualified student. It means the one who has the fourfold sadhanas. Right? Remember this term, sadhana chatushtya sampannaha? So that's a term to be memorized. Sadhana chatushtya sampannaha, the one who has gained the chatushtya, the group of four sadhanas. Right? Viveka, vairagya, samadhi, shakta, and mumukshutvam. That's the sadhana chatushtya. Viveka, vairagya, samadhi, shakta, the sixfold sadhanas beginning with shama, sixfold mental qualifications beginning with shama, and mumukshutvam. So these are the fourfold sadhanas that are qualifications for an adhikari, for a qualified student. So now in this verse 15, when he says sadhanani, the sadhanas, what are the sadhanas? Another way of saying it, what are the fourfold sadhanas that the adhikari has to have? The sadhanas means those means, and actually it means the qualifications, what type of antakarana, what type of mind is necessary? What type of mind becomes one that is capable of gaining this knowledge? So now these are sadhanas, means in terms of mental qualifications that allow you to gain this knowledge. So here where it says sadhanani and namatta plural, the sadhanas that make up the sadhana chatushtya sampannaha, those that are those fourfold qualifications that are attained by the adhikari that the adhikari has, these sadhanas are what? First one, nitya, anitya, vastu, viveka. We'll look at this in detail in the next verse, but just this is what you usually memorize for viveka. If somebody says, what is viveka? You say nitya, anitya, vastu, viveka. Nitya, anitya, vastu, viveka. Viveka means discrimination between the nitya and anitya vastu. Those things, vastus, which are anitya, between the anitya vastus and the nitya vastu. Vastu means a thing, a substance, something that actually is. So initially we take all of the things in samsara to be vastus, right? This is a lamp, this is a chair, this is a rug, this is a person. These are all vastus. These are all the things in the creation. They're all vastus. Upon analysis, we realize there is no such thing in samsara as a vastu, because everything in samsara, within duality, can be broken up into smaller and smaller parts. Or this name, this is a name for something, chair, I mean, lamp. It's a name. This name, lamp, can be broken up into other names, like rod and base and filament, right? So this name is comprised of many names, and those names are comprised of many names. And so, in fact, there is no such thing as a vastu in reality. But when we start out just as a jiva, experiencing this creation of duality, I'm a vastu, you're a vastu, this is a vastu, everything that we experience is a vastu. So now, viveka is this. Of all of these vastus that I experience, the viveka for a jnani is nitya anitya vastu viveka. Discrimination between the real vastu, the nitya, the timeless vastu, and the anitya vastus. Nitya anitya vastu viveka. Discrimination between the anitya and nitya vastu. That's for jnani. Because for a mumukshu, the mumukshu doesn't know what the nitya vastu is. The nitya vastu is Brahman. Mm-hmm. That vastu which is free from time is the nitya vastu. The mumukshu doesn't know the nitya vastu. Right? The mumukshu only knows the anitya vastu. Mumuchu recognizes all of these things are time-bound. Every single thing that I experience is anitya. So the viveki, who is the mumuchu, knows everything I experience is anitya. Is there something that is nitya? The jnani, who is the viveki, knows, clearly discriminates between nitya and anitya. Everything in samsara, everything in maya is anitya. Only Brahman is nitya. That's the jnani. The mumukshu has to discover the nitya, has totally understood the anitya. See? That's what makes a mumukshu. That's what, as we'll see, when they do the order viveka, vairagya, samadhi, shukta, and mumukshu tvam, you can't have vairagya without viveka. That's why it comes first. Right? Without viveka, where's the vairagya? Viveka means I recognize that everything here is time-bound, therefore any ananda, any joy, any experience I have is limited by time. So there is no way to fulfill myself here other than little glimpses of ananda. It's like the drowning man coming up for air. Gets a moment of ananda, pulled back down. You know? And that, there comes a time when that moment of ananda isn't good enough. Because it's bordered by dukkha. All the sukha in samsara is bordered by dukkha. So, that is going to lead to the vairagya. So, let's see what the next... So, anyway, viveka, you have to memorize. Nitya anitya vastu viveka. That's the definition. We'll see in more detail in the next verse. Then, iha amutra arta pola bhoga viraga. Viraga, should note, is another word for vairagya. For Sanskrit students, it's a tadita. You see that viraga, vairagya. The V becomes vai. It's a tadita. So viraga, it means the same, dispassion. Viragaha. So viraga, dispassion for the bhoga, the enjoyments of the fruits. Artha bhoga, the artha, I'm not sure how they translate this artha, is as karma, the fruits of one's actions, or you could say the fruits of one's pursuits. That's probably a good way, because let me explain. The word in question here is artha. I think if you say the fruits of one's pursuits, then artha goes to the poor purusharthas. Okay. So the fruits of one's pursuits, of the pursuits, iha amutra. Iha means here, amutra means hereafter. Here, there. Amutra, say there. Amutra stands for Vyadarlokas, heaven worlds. So, what is it? Here, there, artapala, the fruits, the results, the fruits of one's pursuits, fruits of one's karma, the karmapala, right? Fruits of one's pursuits. Bhoga, enjoyment of the fruits of one's pursuits, here and hereafter. Viragaha, dispassion. For the bhoga, for the enjoyment, for the enjoyments of the pulla, of the fruits, of the artha, of the pursuits, here and hereafter. Dispassion for that, for any of the enjoyments of karmapulla, here and hereafter. Okay?
How does that really translate into your life when you say that?
It translates as vairagya, where I can just appreciate Bhagavan. In other words, as the life unfolds for me, I'm not asking it to make me happy. I'm simply have a karma yoga buddhi attitude to do what needs to be done in this situation. Because I don't see my ananda as... I know my ananda is not dependent upon this. And even as a mumukshu, I know that any type of ananda that this creation can give me is only fleeting. And so I have an attitude of a karma yoga where I do my duty, I do it as to be done, and I appreciate it as Ishvara, I do it as Ishvara, what we call Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. Means a buddhi with the attitude of worshipping Bhagavan.
Is Arpana worship?
Worship. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's like doing a puja. So what I view my life as a puja. That's really beautiful, actually. Mm-hmm. View my life as the life itself as a puja, mm-hmm. to Ishvara. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, repeat after me now. Iha Amutra.
Iha Amutra.
Arta.
Arta.
Palabhoga Viragaha. So you memorize it. Iha Mutra Arta Palabhoga Viragaha. Iha Mutra.
Iha Mutra.
Arta Palabhoga.
Arta Palabhoga.
Viragaha.
Viragaha.
We'll go to in this in detail now, afterwards. Is the verse 17. So there's the Vairagya. Now the next one. Shamadi Shatka.
Shamadi Shatka.
Sampatti.
Sampatti.
Sampatti means the it's like having the acquisition or having as your wealth. The sampatti, having as your, not just attainment, it's more of an acquisition, you now possess it, the sampatti. The sampatti, the possession of shamadi shatka. Shatka means sixfold, the group of six, beginning with shama. Beginning with shama. Shama is that control of the mind. So it's shama, we're going to learn them all. Shama, dhamma, upariti, pratiksha, samadhanam, and shraddha. Which you have to memorize. Shama, dhamma, upariti, pratiksha, samadhanam, and shraddha. We'll get to that, okay? But so when we say shamadi shitka, shama, etc., beginning with shama. So shama is the leader of a group of six. So the shitka, the group of six, shama adi, beginning with shama. Shama adi shitka, the group of six, beginning with shama. Sampatti, that wealth, that attainment. Attainment means that acquisition, having that. Possessing that. The sampatti, you have that as your possession, as your wealth. This group of six, beginning with shama. Shamadi shatka sampatti. So say, shamadi shatka.
Shamadi
shatka sampatti.
Shamadi
shatka sampatti.
Shamadi shatka.
So that's the third one, this group of six mental qualifications, shamadhi, shatka, sampatti. You have those. Then, mumukshitvani. So mumukshitva, ani is putting this whole thing is a dvandva compound, it's a dvandva compound containing four different sets. Okay? So I'll break that down for you in a minute. Mumukshitva means the desire for liberation. The state, the mumukshitva, the state of desiring liberation. Mumukshu means the desire for liberation. Mumukshitva, being one who has the desire for liberation. That's the fourth one. We'll see moktum icha. Moktum icha means the desire for liberation. We'll see that later. So these are the four. And so let me tell you what are the four that are held together by cha, in a sense, as a dvandva. The first one is nitya nitya vastu viveka. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is iha mutrarta palabhoga viraga. That's two. Number three, shamadi shatka sampatti. Number four is mamukshitva. So that ani is putting it in the nominative plural. Because sadhanani, the sadhanas. What are the sadhanas? All of these. You see it?
Mm-hmm. You know this artapala?
Yeah.
It's really only for the first three purusharthas, right? Because the last purusharthas is moksha. Right? Is it? So that would be mokshitva.
Yes and no.
Because
this is the no part.
Okay.
There's four purusharthas, right? Artha, purusharta for security. Kama, purusharta for having pleasure, for having enjoyments. Dharma, the purusharta for gaining a better next life, you know, for gaining punya. Well, that's the dharma. And moksha is the desire for, you know, liberation. Mm-hmm. So moksha, you have a desire for liberation. So all four are goals, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
They're things that you're seeking to attain. But this the desire for moksha is the benign desire.
Right.
Because its fulfillment, right, its fulfillment resolves all desire. Whereas all of the others, there is no resolution. It's like pouring ghee into fire. The fire just gets bigger and bigger. But the moksha, even though it's a purusharta, you have a desire for it, its fulfillment will resolve all desires. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in that way, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at it like this. This moksha purusharta, it starts out as a desire, but it fulfills all desire. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in that way. The vairagya will culminate in the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So you don't... The vairagya culminates in ananda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Mm.
Well, it has to ring 4 times. Okay, let's go on to the next one. If they do it again, I'll know it's an emergency. Okay. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Nitya, nitya.
Nitya, nitya.
Vastu vivekaha.
Vastu
vivekaha. Tavat.
Brahmaiva.
Nityam vastu.
Nityam vastu.
Tato anyat. Akilam. Anityam. Iti vivechanam. Now, for a more detailed definition of nitya, nitya vastu viveka, right? Let me break this into nitya, anitya, vastu vivekaha. Tavat, Brahma eva, nityam vastu, tataha, anyat, akilam, anityam, iti, vivechanam. So nitya, this thing you have to memorize, nitya, nitya, vastu, viveka. That's the definition of viveka. What does it mean? Tavat just introduces... it's just simply introducing the definition. We wouldn't necessarily translate it. Brahma, indeed, nityam vastu, all nominatives, neuter nominatives. Brahman indeed is the nitya vastu. Is that vastu which is nitya, timeless. Brahman alone, Brahma eva, is the nitya vastu, the timeless vastu. That which exists, vastu, which is timeless, is that thing which is timeless.
We have no birthdays here.
Tataha anyat akilam. Tataha means, when you say tataha anyat, everything else, other than that, tataha means from that, than that. Anyat, other than that. Anyat means other. Anyat, tataha, anyat. Akilam means all, everything. So if you have this phrase, tataha, anyat, akilam, everything other than that, all that is other, akilam means all, everything, that is anyat, that is other, tataha, than that. So in other words, everything else in English. Everything other than that, or everything other than that, anityam is anitya. Brahman alone is the nitya vastu. Everything other than that is anitya. Tataha anyat akilam anityam. Iti vivechanam. Vivechanam is another word for viveka. Viveka, vivechanam, all come from the same, means discrimination. All come from the same root. Vivich. Vivich. I think it's a third gana. Don't remember the gana for sure. I think it's third gana. Anyway, it's vivich. To discriminate. To separate, to discriminate. So viveka, sometimes you'll see vivecha, sometimes you'll see vivechanam, Right? Same meaning, discrimination. So what is nitya nitya vastu vivekaha? It is brahmaiva nityam vastu tataha anyat akilam anityam iti vivechanam. You got to see it? Mm-hmm. We're going to do one more.
Okay. Oh, it's a big one.
This one is for Vairagya now. Aihitanam Srak Chandana Vanita Adi Vishaya Bhoganam Karma Janyataya Anityatvavat Amushmikanam Api Amritadi Amrita Adi Vishaya Bhoganam Anityataya Tebhyah Nitaram Viratihi Ihamutrartha Pala Bhoga Viragaha. That's what you memorize. Ihamutrartha Pala Bhoga Viragaha. Okay. Now, remember when I said Iha Amutra? Iha means here. Amutra means there. Remember that? Iha means here. Amutra means there. Iha mutra pala bhoga vairaga. Iha mutrarta pala bhoga viragaha. So iha here, amutra there. Aihika. Aihika means belonging to here. That which is secular. That which belongs to here. So it comes from iha. I because it takes vidhi becomes I. So iha, aihika. Aihitanam, genitive plural, of that which belongs here, in this loka. Loka means in this world. So, for of that which belongs to this world, what? Shtrak means garlands. A garland, malas, are shtrak. Chandana means, what's the sandalwood paste? It has beautiful scent. Garlands are beautiful. They're beautiful to look at. They have beautiful fragrance. Chandana is sandalwood. Sandalwood paste. That's a beautiful scent. Sra, chandana. Vanita means, you can say sexual pleasures. It actually means a beautiful woman who gives you pleasure is vanita, that type of a woman. Like a wife or a mistress but somebody who, for a man who, is somebody that you love is Vanita, a beautiful woman. So Vanita, etc. So Srak, Chandana, Vanita, etc. Vishaya. Remember, Vishaya is any object of the sense. Any object of your sense organs is a Vishaya. Also remember, Vishaya means a subject matter of something, but here it's just sense, any object of perception. Is a vishaya, or any object of perception of pratyaksha. Bhoga means enjoyment. So, if we read it backwards, of the enjoyments of vishayas, such as garlands, sandalwood, beautiful women, here which belong here, which are part of this world, belonging to this world. Any of the objects of enjoyment, such as sandalwood, such as flowers, etc., belonging to this world, aihikanam is an adjective to shrub chandana, right? To the aihikanam is an adjective to these bogas, right? All the enjoyments belonging to this world. Karma janyatriya. Janyata means being born. Janyataya is the feminine instrumental singular because of being born of karma. Karma janyataya. Because of being born of karma. karma janyataya anityatvavat. Anityatva means non-eternal, being non-eternal. That vat means like. So if I read now backwards from here, it would say vat, anityatvavat, like the non-eternality, because of being born of karma, for objects of enjoyment such as flowers, garlands, beautiful women, etc., which we experience here, which belong here to this world, so like that. Everybody see it? Mm-hmm. Amushmika. Amushmika anand. Now remember I said iha amutra? Iha, ayika comes from iha, from amutra. Another form of amutra is amushman, amushmin. Amushmika means of the other world, belonging to the other world. So ayika means of this world, belonging to this world, where amushmikanam means that which belongs to the other worlds, the heavenly worlds. Of the also, amrita. Amrita, we'll go word by word and then read it backwards again. Amrita means the immortality. Because even in the Satyaloka, you can gain immortality, but the immortality is time-bound. Mm-hmm. Right? It comes to an end when the world goes into unmanifest condition, the pralaya. Then the immortality that you're enjoying by taking Satyaloka and not having to experience death will come to an end. Your karma will run out at the end of the kalpa when the world comes into unmanifest condition again, the pralaya. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, immortality, etc., vishya, the objects, right? Boganam. So now reading backwards. Boganam. For the enjoyment, of the enjoyment, of the objects, sense objects, such as immortality. Also, we would say like this, which belong to the other world. Which belonging to the other world, to the belonging to there means to the Satyaloka, to the heavenly worlds. That api is going to, for Sanskrit people, this is, you know how when you use cha or api, when it's breaking two phrases or two words, it'll come after the first word usually of the second phrase, and so here. We would say also for those in api means also for those of the enjoyment of objects such as immortality which belong to the other world. To there means to the heavenly worlds. Then anityataya, because of being anitya. Because of being non-eternal, that's again the just like the anityatva of the above phrase. This is anityataya, using ta instead of twa. It's feminine instrumental singular. Because of being non-eternal. So in English, you said because of the non-eternality of the enjoyment of the enjoyments of objects such as immortality for the other world also. Just like the non-eternality because of being born of karma for the enjoyment of objects in this world. So what? Tebhyaha nitaram viratihi. There, viratihi is another word for viraga. Virati means indifference. Nitaram means a complete indifference. Nitaram viratihi, a total indifference, a complete indifference toward them. Tebhyaha. So now, if I read the whole thing backwards, you'd say the basic sentence is this. There is virati, there is a nitaram viratihi, there is a complete and total indifference toward them. because of there being anitya. Why are they anitya? Because they're born of karma. What is anitya? The ahika bogas, the bogas that enjoyments that are experienced here, as well as the bogas, the enjoyments that are experienced in the other world. Right? So all enjoyments, whether all bogas, all enjoyments of sense pleasures, whether those enjoyments are taking place here on this loka, or the amushmaka, the amutra loka, the other loka, there, the there loka, which means all the satya lokas, all the heavenly worlds, all of the enjoyments of vishayas are anitya. They're all time-bound because all of them are born of karma. When that is understood, karma is a limited action, and a limited action can only give a limited result. So no karma can give a limitless result because it itself is time-bound. Any karma that you do is time-bound. It exists within duality. It has a beginning and an end. And so the pala, the result, will also be time-bound. So whether that result, that karma pala, is a karma pala in this world, taking place in this world, or is a karma pala in terms of the gain of a heavenly world or any other loka, the pala, the result, will be anitya, time-bound. The mumukshu, who has viveka, is the one who has recognized that all karma and all pala is anitya. There is nothing in the creation, whether you go to the highest realm, Satyaloka, or this realm itself, that can give any type of lasting result. Because of that viveka, vairagya is born. A complete vairagya toward the gaining of any result in this world, because I recognize that it is time-bound. And so, especially now, in terms of the mumukshu, it's kind of like the dark night of the soul, the vairagya is. Because you recognize that nothing in this world at all exists that can give you any type of lasting, secure, lasting ananda, any lasting well-being. And so, in other words, you can never make it. It's impossible. You can never say, I've done it, all is well with me, I am full, I am free. The universe can't give you that, right? And so that brings about a vairagya, which is kind of like the dark night of the soul, because that itself leads to the mumukshu torment, because you realize you can't do it. You feel bound because there's no answer. That's why a desire for liberation comes up, because you realize clearly that you can't solve this problem, right? And so once having realized that, then vairagya, a dispassion, sets in. Now, for the jnani, it's different. So that's the state of vairagya for the mumukshu. That state of vairagya culminates in the acquisition of, the mind's recognition of the source of ananda as being nitya, as being free from time. Hi, Tibby. The vairagya for the jnani is natural because one gains ananda. One recognizes oneself as ananda. Right, so the vairagya resolves into the ananda. I have vairagya for this creation because it can't give me what I want. What I want is ananda. And so vairagya itself, with jnana, with knowledge, resolves into ananda. Right, so that the vairagya for the jnani is one of completion. I am full, and out of fullness I do this. I don't do this for fullness. The mumukshu is, this is the problem with the mumukshu. I do this for fullness, for happiness, and then I realize it can't give it to me. The jnani does this as vairagya because I do this out of fullness. Right? So the vairagya comes from fullness. Whereas the mumukshu's vairagya comes from the recognition that the world can't give me the fullness that I seek. Which is not a time-bound fullness. Time-bound fullness is like the drowning person coming up for air. You know?
What was that, the jnani? Vairagya comes from recognizing I do this out of fullness?
Yeah, I am the fullness.
So where's the vairagya then? I mean, where's the... I'm
naturally not asking the world to give me fullness. Right. I don't go pursue the world for that. I have vairagya in the sense that it's not, vairagya is not like this.
Yeah.
You know, I keep away from it. It's not that. It's that I don't ask that of the world at all, because I have it. Whereas the mumukshu realizes that the world, I want that from the world, it cannot give it to me. And so now I have vairagya, I don't ask the world of that, but I'm in kind of a despair because I don't know what the source of the ananda is. That's where I become a mumukshu. Okay, that's good.
Nice.
Isn't this nice?
Oh, this is great.
Where was Sarvananda going?
Well, the last sentence, we will do it, but the last sentence is the repetition. Iha amutarta pala bhoga viragaha. Here and there, arta pala bhoga viragaha, the dispassion, or the viraga, for the enjoyment of the fruits of one pursuit, of one's pursuits, here and hereafter. I'll wind it up again next time, if that's what it is. All right, we missed that. Sit up here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.